Thanks everybody for coming out. I know it's early to get started. I am a yoga researcher. That's the main focus that I do my research on, and I do lots of different populations. And this was my first study working with teens and adolescents. So it was a lot of fun to get involved with this. First of all, anyone who's been to a yoga class, it's not exactly what you would think a lot of middle schoolers would like to do, or let alone some elementary students, as it is an activity that, you know, is about being quiet and controlled energy, which is kind of the opposite of what it's like to be young. So I've taught one class to kids, and I really have a lot more admiration to those who teach yoga to children, because it was really difficult. I generally teach actually to people your age. I do an employee wellness class at my university. So, but this study was my first study with middle schoolers. So they were kind of adolescents and teens around seventh grade, so 12, 13 years of age. And I kind of based this first study on a literature review that I did exploring some of the benefits of yoga for people in this population. I have no relationships to disclose. So as far as the significance, why we focus this study, we focus more on some of the psychosocial issues related to adolescents and middle school students. We did address some of the physical challenges they do have, such as eating disorders and obesity and some of those lifestyle conditions, but we really want to try to focus more on some of the psychosocial health challenges that they have. So some of the recent statistics I've seen for teens as far as some of the struggles that they do have, concentration and focus, so ADHD, some prevalence is as high as 1 in 10, anxiety disorders 1 in 10, depression 1 in 8, and of course some correlating conditions such as struggling with self-esteem, self-image, self-worth, and also eating disorders, and also obesity. As a side note, I had a privilege of hearing Patch Adams talk. Now, this is all anecdotal evidence, but he said of those patients he's ever had of every age group, that nearly everyone struggled with self-esteem and self-worth. Only 3% of people thought well of themselves. So I thought that was interesting. I know his opinion is respected, although questioned. He is very much an activist. But I do find that kind of interesting. So those are some of the conditions we're dealing with for this study. So how can yoga address some of these issues? It's really through the combination of combining the physical attributes of asana, some of the physical poses, along with some of the breath work that's done through pranayama. So how we try to address this is by incorporating more breath work into the classes to help meet the challenges of anxiety, stress, and depression, and specifically through doing the three-part breath. So if y'all, since we do have a little bit of time, I'm on the Kentucky border, so I just caught myself with the y'all. If you would all like to take a minute here, if you just want to close your eyes, we'll all kind of get centered here, get started with our day, as we've been very busy with all these different talks each day. So just close your eyes and begin to breathe comfortably, okay? So try to sit up tall just so you're comfortable, so you're nice and open through the chest. Close your eyes and just begin to breathe in through your nose. Breathe in deeply for maybe 3-4 seconds. Pause and retain that breath in. And then exhale, just push everything out through your nose if you can for 3 or 4 seconds. And so we'll try to do that repeatedly here. Breathing in, holding, and then exhaling out for a few seconds. If you'd like to, you can constrict the back of your throat. That's called the ocean breath. It just allows you to become aware of your breath here. Inhaling in, pausing, and then exhaling. Pushing all that stale air out of the lungs. A couple more times, inhaling in, pausing, and exhaling. And one more time, inhaling in, pausing, and exhaling, letting go. All right. So I like to incorporate that into a lot of my talks so that everyone who hasn't had experience with yoga has a little bit more experience and can maybe notice some of the benefits. And generally, we all have a tendency to breathe fairly shallow, so it's nice to breathe a little bit deeper. All right, so some of the other solutions that some of the literature showed is that the meditative aspects could help individuals, especially those who have trouble focusing, and not just those with ADD or ADHD, but also those who have struggle with anxiety or stress. And specifically, more and more research is pointing to a correlation between an unhappy state of mind and a wandering mind. In fact, it's trying to confirm a hypothesis that yoga gurus have had a long time period, where basically if you think about yourself, how many times your mind's constantly rambling, you're thinking about, maybe even thinking about other things right now, thinking about your talk, you're thinking about what you're doing later in the day, you're thinking about what you ate last night or what you're doing right now. That constant self-dialogue is constantly going through our head. And just being able to focus on the present moment is actually a very challenging thing for many people to do. And it's especially true for adolescents and teens. The mind is constantly wandering and unable to focus on the present moment. So that's one of the solutions, is that yoga can do that. We focus on the physical posture combining with the breath, and that usually alone is enough to slow down the mind. And obviously, for some of the students, lack of physical activity is another issue, and also flexibility, especially with excessive time periods in a sedentary position. All right, so what we did was, this is actually how a lot of my research actually gets started. I travel to conferences and I meet yoga teachers and yoga therapists, and they're interested in doing research. And so we set up studies all over the country just to explore some of the benefits. So I worked with a yoga instructor outside Chicago, and she taught yoga for several years, and she was interested in doing a research study. And so she got a group of seventh grade students who were interested in participating in yoga. She also recruited a control group thanks to a pizza party that was promised as an incentive. So it wasn't necessarily a randomly assigned study, so it was a quasi-experimental study that we measured students three times over the course of one academic school year. So they started in August, ended in June, and we measured them at the beginning of the year, then in January, and then once again at the end of the school year, just to measure change over time. And again, but both groups did have the similar demographics as far as similar BMIs, similar gender, number, frequency of gender, and also similar basic athletic ability. So there wasn't any difference at the beginning of the study. So they were comparable populations. Let's see here. So some of the measures that we did measure over the course of our time, we looked at positive and negative moods, specifically for children. Looked at that scale to see how that would change over time. We also were interested in life satisfaction. In previous research I've done looking at the relationship between yoga and life satisfaction, the scale used by developed by Diener at the University of Illinois, we specifically didn't see a lot of change, mainly because that variable with adults does not change significantly in a short period of time. Basically, our life satisfaction probably won't change much in the next 3 months, barring something unforeseen, like losing a significant other or a job. But when you're a teenager, your life satisfaction has a lot higher variability. So we explore that variable in the study. We also looked at perceived stress, perceived sleep quality, and when we did have some physical measures, blood pressure, weight, and resting heart rate. So some of the outcomes that we just generally saw in this study, we saw decreased reported levels of anxiety, and thus correlated with that decreased levels of negative affect. So negative mood did decrease for the yoga group. It did not change over time for the group, our control group. We also saw increased positive mood or increased positive affect over the course of the school year for the yoga group, whereas we did not see an increase over time for our control group. Additionally, we saw decreased stress, perceived stress for the yoga intervention. Again, we did not see that in the control group. And we saw a decreased blood pressure, especially for those who had elevated blood pressures. We didn't see much of a change for individuals who did not have elevated blood pressures. So it was a small subsample. But as I actually spoke with quite a few school principals as we began to replicate the study, high blood pressure is becoming more and more an issue for middle school students, which I was unaware of. I mean, I had an idea it was bad for some students, but I almost I got into a little bit of a debate with a principal, and I decided that she knew the population a little bit better. So I conceded, and I was surprised to see that blood pressure is becoming an issue for middle school students. And we also saw a decreased resting heart rate, and correlated with that was a decrease in BMI. So we saw lots of positive findings. Now, there's lots of limitations to this study. I just want to mention before I get into some of the qualitative outcomes, obviously we did not randomly assign individuals to a yoga group, and we did have a convenience sample. So it's all promising research, but needs to be replicated in further detail. But it was promising outcomes. What I personally enjoy more than the quantitative outcomes or the qualitative outcomes we saw were students reported a way to actually manage stressful situation by using their breath work. Quite a few students did report having anxiety and stress, and they literally learned yoga. A lot of us in the West, the problem with yoga as any type of positive physical activity or stress management technique is it is something that is only done in the classroom. So you don't get any benefits unless you do it in the classroom. And a lot of us don't have time to go to classes or the money, right? It's like, oh, I don't have time to go to yoga. I don't have time to get this in. But a lot of these students actually literally were taught yoga where they actually became part of their lifestyle, where if they're under a stressful situation before a test or if they had to talk to a peer, they would actually begin to use some of the pranayama, some of the deep breathing before they had to do some of those things, and it helped calm them down. So that was really empowering for a lot of the students. They also reported feeling more awake and alert in class, which was very happy for the teachers involved in this program. And they also reported having fewer issues being able to focus in class, probably because they're more awake. So right now we are doing a follow-up study. We were following 13 of the 20 students who did yoga in 7th grade. We're following them in 8th grade. And we are then comparing them with a new group of students who had not done yoga before. So we are kind of in year 2 of the study. And then we're also replicating with 2 other groups, one in Evansville, Indiana, and we're also replicating with a group in Texas. So we're trying to replicate and also improve the design some of these new groups by trying to randomly assign individuals to the 2 different populations or to the different treatment effects. Also, we're trying to incorporate this into normal PE classes. We've had some challenges with that. It's tough to get yoga into the schools for us, mainly because of already the limitations school systems are put under, where they have to have so many hours of physical activity and all these specific requirements. So we generally used, in this study, we used the advisory period, which I was used to calling study hall, but now it's an advisory period is the new name for it. So we used advisory periods to have yoga 2 days a week for this study. And we're also looking to have a before-school yoga program and perhaps an after-school program in order to deliver this to the students. So, and I just want to say, I also had a privilege to kind of work and plan some of the study with a new yoga school, a youth yoga school in Evansville, Indiana. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are thinking the yoga mecca of the United States is in Evansville, Southern Indiana. And I say that all sarcastically, but there's actually quite a bit of yoga there. And I just want to say thanks to Stacey Shanks and her organization, Yoga and Life, for her assistance. Because like I said, I don't teach yoga to children. I don't know a lot of what they do. And there's lots of different programs that are geared towards kids. And so I just want to say thanks to all the work that she's done. Just kind of some additional benefits. Teens are more likely to have psychosocial issues than physical issues at this age, at least related to some of the benefits of yoga. And yoga is also a tool that is more likely to affect their ability not only to manage stressful situations, but also allow them to grow into themselves. Some other research has shown it helps them explore their identity, and teens are more curious and open-minded. What I found basically in some of my research with yoga with adults is people can be closed-minded towards yoga as they get older because of religious aspects, also because they feel they have to be super flexible or in super shape in order to do yoga. But I try to change their minds because we taught yoga to 95-year-olds with walkers. So if they can do it, anyone can do it. But that is a challenge. So generally, teens are more receptive, open-minded to this practice. So, and just some other issues that I'm sure everyone's familiar with. But probably what we want to try to explore further, especially where there's funding, is to use yoga as an intervention for obesity. There's more and more research being done for that. Not necessarily that yoga will burn a ton of calories, depending on what type and how physical it's done. You know, if you do a big vinyasa flow class or ashtanga class, or if you do some Bikram where you heat up the room, you could burn more calories, but also to increase body awareness. So that people are more aware of what they put into their bodies and more accepting of their bodies. So, and that's a couple of our participants right there, Gail, and another yoga, one of our other yoga instructors, Jonathan, engaging in our Warrior 3 there. So, any questions?